Welcome back. It's a Tuesday, the 22nd day of November, 2022, second day of the week coming up to Thanksgiving, the holiday week. I am your host, Mark Call. And with that, let me start off today's look at the news with something, I guess you could say whimsical, even though it shouldn't surprise us. It is ultimately kind of disgusting because it shows you what happens when you have frauds running the railroad. Anyway, this piece comes from Christina Layla in the Gateway Pundit, and I'm going to use the headline, but then go in a slightly different direction. Biden Fuhrer insists that he learned about his criminally evil so-called Attorney General Merrick Garland's decision to appoint a special counsel to harass his political enemy and the fellow that rightfully won the White House, in other words, to investigate Trump. And he heard about it, how? From news reports. No, because he's clueless. He's out of touch. He doesn't know what's going on in the White House that supposedly he runs, hardy har. Now, the reason why I think this is a funny story is because I don't doubt that there is at least an element of truth to that. And the White House probably knows that even if he was physically present in some meeting, not mentally, of course, he won't remember it now anyway. And so, yeah, he probably saw it in the news and said, oh, look, what's this? And that, at least, folks, tells you where we are. The story goes like this. Biden was asked about Merrick Garland, yeah, sure, and his decision to appoint a special counsel to attack Trump. Biden claimed he had no idea. No, I was completely ignorant of that, that his own attorney general was going to appoint such a special prosecutor to investigate his political opponent and wreak havoc. I learned about it when you did, said the Biden Fuhrer. And as the story points out, no person with half a brain actually believes this. But, hey, we now live in a world where nobody questions in-your-face idiocy like this either. Yeah, he was clueless. We knew it. He did it. Obviously, he forgot. And hey, he forgot where his diaper was changed this morning, too. Again, why are we surprised? But you're supposed to believe that other guy is guilty of crimes the Biden Fuhrer doesn't even remember. Interesting news next from Arizona. Once upon a time, I might have said good news, but come on, is it really good news when people finally see the corruption and say, hey, maybe there's corruption here? Or is it just, what took you so long? There are now three, count them, one, two, three Arizona counties which will hold off on certifying the illegal, unconstitutional, and, to put it really mildly, highly suspect 2022 rigged midterm elections in the state. And by the time the story went to press from TGP, there was one more, evidently Gila County. Now it's Mojave, Cochise, and Yavapai counties that have all refused to certify the purloined election, and there are only 15 counties in the entire state. Arizona GOP Chair Kelly Ward put it this way in a Monday tweet on Mojave County's decision to do the obvious and delay certification, quote, voters in all rural counties in Arizona are being disenfranchised by Maricopa County's incompetence slash malfeasance. I'm happy to see that my county, she wrote, Mojave, voted to delay certification. And this is an interesting factoid from the story. Republicans in the state had a 72% turnout on Election Day, while Democrats had only a 17% turnout. But imagine this, folks, for some unexplained reason, oh, we know what it is, the remaining ballots after Election Day managed to break even between the two parties, despite Republicans having held strong leads in the polls, which says something pretty significant to anybody with the ability to connect the dots. This next item comes from Soviet Switzerland, once a free country, where Dr. Thomas Binder is a Swiss cardiologist with over 34 years of experience in treating respiratory infections. Can you see where this is headed? He received his doctorate in immunology and virology, specializing in internal medicine and cardiology, says a piece from Martin Armstrong via the Burning Platform. From the University of Zurich. He's an intelligent man who was, of course, deemed insane by the corrupt Swiss government for daring to speak out against their idiotic anti-health so-called COVID regulations. Turns out, Dr. Binder's been an outspoken critic of the literally deadly restrictions since the beginning of the pandemic. On April 9th of 2020, the cardiologist criticized the government's response to COVID and provided his own analysis of the virus, put it on his private website, which received over 20,000 views. And imagine this, folks. Just 3 days later, 60 armed Swiss Gestapo and 20 members of the Kanton Polizei Aargau anti-terrorism, SICK, unit forcibly removed Dr. Binder from his home, and ultimately he ended up in a mental institution because, well, if you don't salute the Fuhrer, you must be crazy. Authorities searched through the doctor's online activity, couldn't find anything to use against him. However, an emergency room doctor, SICK, working with the authorities, arrived and diagnosed the actual doctor with, get this, corona insanity. and he's been locked away in a mental asylum for daring to question the official narrative. Other stories say they did force him to take psychoactive drugs, but, says Martin Armstrong, he refuses to be silenced. And he's now a member of the Doctors for COVID Ethics and German Physicians and Scientists for Health, Freedom, and Democracy. And at least a few people are saying, hey, we ought to pay attention to what's going on over there, because if it can happen in Switzerland, folks, and you know it's been happening in California and other communist enclaves in the People's Republic, guess where it can happen next? Actually, it's easier to say, guess where it can't. Some actual good news next amidst the bad, from the biggest part of the American southern border with Mexico, where a record number of illegal aliens and other invaders are crossing into the once free United States on a monthly basis. The number of illegals, says another piece from TGP, is likely the largest regime-approved migrant invasion in the history of the world. In September, a record 227,347 illegals were captured at the U.S. border. Who knows how many went unimpeded, walking across the open border into the country. And so far, in 2022 alone, under the Biden Fuhrer, there have been a record 2 million, well, let's just say, just short of 400,000 apprehensions of illegal aliens at the open southern border. And that, of course, is an all-time record. The Biden regime then proceeds to transfer them across the U.S. in the dead of night. And that's the same regime lecturing the governors of Texas and Florida for daring to transfer just a few hundred of these same illegals in the light of day to leftist Democrat-run communities that are oh so happy to pontificate and virtue signal, but not so much when it actually involves some skin off of their you-know-what. You've heard the term NIMBY, not in my backyard and not in my front yard either. It's for you peons, not us. Here's the good news. On Monday, Texas Governor Greg Abbott sent a letter to the Biden Fuhrer warning that his so-called administration is in violation, gee, do you think, of the United States Constitution for not securing the border with Mexico. And interestingly, he actually seems to have read the document, or at least his people did. They quote Article 1, Section 10, Clause 3, and says that this represents, quote, an acknowledgement of the state's sovereign interest in protecting their borders, he wrote. And by opening our border to this record-breaking level of illegal immigration, you and your administration are in violation of Article 4, Section 4 of that same U.S. Constitution. Now let's pause there and do something that the news media pretty much never does, and that's actually read the document. It says, Article 1, Section 10, Clause 3, no state shall, without the consent of Congress, lay any duty on tonnage, keep troops or ships of war in time of peace, enter into any agreement or compact with another state or with a foreign power, or, listen to this, or engage in war unless actually invaded, or in such imminent danger as will not admit of delay. Well, I think, folks, it's pretty hard to deny that Texas is, in fact, actually being invaded, and not just in imminent danger of it. It's been going on at least as long as this corrupt regime has been encouraging it. Governor Abbott then goes on to say this, in the more than 240 years of our great nation, no administration has done more than yours to place the states in imminent danger, a direct result of your policy decisions and refusal to deliver on the Article 4, Section 4 guarantee, and I'll read that in just a second, said the actual governor to the Marionette-in-Chief. In the absence of action by your administration, SIC, to secure the border, every act by Texas officials is being taken pursuant to the authority that the founders recognized in the thing I just read, Article 1, Section 10, Clause 3. And by the way, the guarantee in Article 4 there, Section 4 says, the United States shall guarantee to every state in the Union, no folks, not a democracy, but a republican form of government, and shall protect each of them against invasion. Here next, a story from Stephen Stanford at the All News Pipeline that I thought was kind of interesting and certainly fits well today. He in turn quotes an article from Genocide Watch entitled The 10 Stages of Genocide, which include the following. Number 1, classification. 2, symbolization. Number 3, discrimination. 4, dehumanization, followed by organization, polarization, preparation, persecution. Number 9, extermination. And finally, denial. And from there, let's go to the analysis. Genocide, it says, is a process that develops in 10 stages that are predictable but not inexorable, and at each stage, preventive measures can stop it. And as ANP inserts here, the Second Amendment and tens of millions of well-armed citizens is, in fact, such a preventive measure. But remember, the process is not linear. Stages occur simultaneously, and each stage in itself is a process. And the logic is similar to the, you've seen it, the Russian Matryoshka doll, where each doll has another little doll inside of it. Classification, though, is at the center. Without it, the processes around it could not occur. As societies develop more and more genocidal processes, they get nearer and nearer to genocide, but all the stages continue to operate throughout the process. And note, too, it says that all cultures ultimately go through them, the dividing of people into categories, us versus them, and we see stage one of the process of genocide has long been going on here in America, the classification, with even the Biden Fuhrer himself taking part in the demonization of conservatives. You've heard all the names he calls anybody who can read the Constitution, folks, or the Bible, and ultimately that means anyone that doesn't go along with the left's literally satanic agenda. And as Genocide Watch notes, the classification of the future intended victims is key to the genocide that's being planned with all the other processes happening simultaneously. And that would mean stages 7 through 10 are already happening here in America under the Biden Fuhrer and the far left. Preparation, persecution, extermination, and denial. And with denial long heavily evident, with what now passes for the American government that usurped the constitutional one literally decades ago, that process of lying to the American people for decades and decades, and with them, their mouthpiece, the waystream media, they call it the MSM, but I prefer the term Orwell did too, Ministries of Truth. But whatever you call them, they're now down to an absolutely horrid only 34% record of trust among the American people, and you got to wonder what's going on with the final third, although it's clear they've been dumbed down for those same decades as well. And while most Americans might say that government hasn't yet gotten to the out-in-the-open and fully blatant stage of government-sponsored mass murder like we've seen in the past, some of us would question, given the Fauci et al. Gain-of-function bioweapon, the Biden Fuhrer, and the attempts to, poison via the Zyklon B injection, the biggest number of people in all of human history that were not there. Still, it's pretty clear that that is yet to come, and it may be real soon now. Here your host notes that I've mentioned other articles for quite a while now, saying that the massive deaths are in progress. We see it in incredible increases in the death by all causes category, but a complicit media helps in that denial stage of the genocide. And remember, some that are already dying don't even know it. Genocide Watch does say, though, that during active genocide, only rapid and overwhelming armed intervention can stop what is intended. Kind of makes you wonder how close we've already come to that, doesn't it? Back to some of the earlier phases, already well underway. All cultures have categories used to distinguish people into us versus them. Things like ethnicity, race, religion, nationality, German versus Jew, Hutu and Tutsi. And while today's Democrats, I don't think they do this anymore, but he says they used to anyway, like to portray themselves as for the people. Former U.S. Congresswoman and U.S. military vet Tulsi Gabbard recently warned that Joe Biden and Adolf Hitler do share the same mindset, and that for the people of America, that is a disaster in the making. Yet, the mere fact that Tulsi Gabbard just removed herself from the party of the insane and is at the same time a U.S. veteran is a good thing for America because it leads people to ask just how many more of them in the U.S. military that are awake and aware and using that fine tool of discernment to cut through the BS that they're being sold and, of course, the poison poke that they're being injected with. Unfortunately, a lot of the best ones have already left for the obvious reason. For the sake of all future generations of Americans, says the piece, we hope there are many of them who are able to see the enemies of America within that have been warned about, well, since people started taking an oath that they seem to be ignoring. We'll also see here in this next portion that the 10 stages of genocide at stage 9, or active extermination, once it begins in earnest, the only thing that could put a stop to it is that rapid and overwhelming armed intervention. That's the words of Genocide Watch, notes A&P, not ours. We pray that it never comes to that. But honestly, folks, I think one of the interesting things here is it probably already has, and there are so many people that are now dead men walking that by the time that they figure out that they've already been injected with more than enough poison to kill them and their immune systems have been destroyed, along with their heart, kidney, liver, lung function, and circulatory systems, once they figure it out, it'll be too late for them to do anything about it. The story notes this interesting point, though. Extermination begins and quickly becomes the mass killing legally called genocide, and it is extermination to the killers because they actually don't believe that their victims are fully human. And doesn't that ring true nowadays? When it's sponsored by the almighty state, the armed forces often work with militias to do the killing. And I'll pause there because that word is misleading in this context, folks. It's not militias that Big Brother wants to work with. It's Antifa and BLM. Militias, of course, are the people that need to be exterminated. But at least as long as we understand the distinction, you can see what's being pointed out here. because the goal of total genocides is to kill all the members of the targeted group. At this point, the story gives all kinds of examples. Educated members of the targeted group might be murdered, as in Burundi, 1972. All men and boys of fighting age might be murdered, as in Bosnia, 1995. All women and girls might be raped, as in Darfur, Myanmar, and so on. And that one, of course, has been repeated many times throughout history. Mass rapes of women have become a characteristic of all modern genocides, and rape is used specifically as a means to alter and destroy the victim group. Sometimes the genocide results in revenge killing by one group against another, creating the downward whirlpool-like cycle of bilateral genocide, as we've seen in Burundi, and destruction of cultural and religious property is employed to annihilate the group's existence from history. How many times have we seen this? Armenia, in the 1915 through 22 World War I time frame. Daesh, ISIS in 2014 through 2018, and so on. Total war between nations or ethnic groups is inherently genocidal, it concludes, because it doesn't differentiate civilians from non-combatants. Carpet bombing, firebombing, bombing of hospitals, the use of chemical and biological weapons, like we're seeing in America and indeed the whole world today. They're all war crimes and also acts of genocide. Terrorism doesn't differentiate civilians and combatants, and when it's intended to destroy members of a national, ethnic, racial, or religious group, it is indeed genocidal. Finally, the use of nuclear weapons, as we see the comedian-turned-dictator of Ukraine openly pushing now, along with the Biden Fuhrer, is the ultimate act of genocide because it's consciously intended to destroy not only a substantial part of a national group, but a whole lot of people as well. They call it collateral damage, but ultimately, it's about population reduction, writ really, really large. Which perhaps, folks, makes this latest genocide the biggest in human history and the most comprehensive, if you think about it. And from there, this is a good day to take a look back at one of those overview pieces from C.J. Hopkins at the Consent Factory, Zero Hedge, no doubt Lou Rockwell and a whole bunch of others as well that figure out just how appropriate this one is. He begins by saying people can tell themselves they didn't see where things have been heading for the last 17 months, but really they did. They saw the signs all along the way. They were written in big, bold letters, some of them even in scary-looking Germanic script. And they said, "This is the road to totalitarianism." No, he says, "I'm not going to show you all of those signs over again. People like me have been pointing them out and reading them out loud for 17 months now." Now, at this point, folks, it's more like 30 months. And anyone who knows anything about the history of totalitarianism, how it incrementally transforms society into a monstrous mirror image of itself, has known since the beginning what the new normal is, and we've been shouting from the rooftops about it. We've watched as the new normal transformed our societies into paranoid, pathological, authoritarian dystopias, where people now have to show their papers in order to see a movie or get a cup of coffee, and publicly display their ideological conformity, i.e., they wear their muzzles like good little slaves, in order to enter a supermarket or buy their groceries. We've watched as the new normal transformed the majority of the masses into hate-drunk, hysterical mobs that are openly now persecuting the unvaccinated, and that would now be the official Untermenschen of the new normal ideology. We've watched, he continues, as the new normal has done precisely what every totalitarian movement in history has done before it, right by the numbers. We pointed this out each and every step of the way, and I'm not going to reiterate it all over again. But I am going to document where we are at the moment and how we got here, for the record, so that the people who will later try to tell you they had no clue that the trains were coming, much less where they were going, will understand why we no longer trust them, why we regard them as cowards and collaborators, or worse. Yeah, he says that's harsh, but this is not a game, certainly not anymore. It isn't a difference of opinion. The global capitalist ruling establishment is implementing a new, more openly totalitarian structure of society and method of rule. They're revoking our constitutional and human rights, transferring power away from sovereign governments and democratic institutions into unaccountable global entities that have no allegiance to any nation or its people. And witness what we just saw with the CDC, folks. They got no authority, certainly no allegiance to the rule of law, and that didn't even slow them down. This is what's happening, he says, right now. It's not a TV show. It's actually happening. And yeah, the time for people to wake up is over. At this point, you can either join the fight to preserve what's left of those once God-given, constitutionally protected rights and that sovereignty, or you can surrender to that new normal, to globalist, capitalist, and I'm going to put the other word in here that describes the public-private partnership, fascist totalitarianism. says, CJ, I couldn't care less what you believe about the virus or its mutant variants or the experimental not vaccines. And remember, they're not vaccines. That's just another lie. This isn't an abstract argument over the science. It's a fight, a political, ideological fight. On the one side is democracy or constitutional republics and the rule of law, if you prefer. On the other, totalitarianism. Pick a f***ing side, he says, and live with it. Anyway, here's where we are at the moment and how we got here. Just the broad strokes. It's August 2021, and Germany has officially banned demonstrations against the new normal official ideology. And other public assemblies, he names one that Americans may not be familiar with from last week, but basically fill in your Antifa, BLM, LGBTQ, politically correct, leftist riot squads and demonstrations, and it's all still allowed. The outlawing of political opposition, though, is a classic hallmark of totalitarian systems. It's also a classic move that we've now seen from German authorities, which will give them the pretext they need to unleash the new normal goon squads on the demonstrators tomorrow. In Australia, the military has been deployed to enforce total compliance with government decrees, lockdowns, mandatory public obedience rituals. In other words, de facto martial law, another classic hallmark of totalitarian systems. In France, restaurants and other business owners who serve the unvaccinated will now be imprisoned, as will, of course, the unvaccinated themselves. The scapegoating, demonizing, and segregating of the unvaxxed is happening in countries all over the world. France is just, at least for now, an extreme example. The scapegoating, though, dehumanizing and segregating of minorities, particularly the regime's political opponents, is another classic hallmark of totalitarian systems. In the UK, Italy, Greece, and numerous other countries throughout the world, this pseudo-medical social segregation system is also being introduced in order to divide societies into the good people, the compliant, the vaxxed, the useful idiots, and the bad people, the non-compliant. The good people are being given licenses and encouraged by the authorities and the corporate media to unleash their rage on the unvaxxed and to demand our segregation into internment camps, read concentration camps, and openly even threaten to murder us viciously. This is also a hallmark of totalitarian systems. And that, my friends, says C.J. Hopkins, is where we are. We didn't get here overnight. Here are just a few of the unmistakable signs along the road to totalitarianism that I've pointed out over the past 17 months. June 2020, the new pathologized totalitarianism. And then he proceeds to make his point by listing all the columns over the last year that warned about where we were headed. And now he says, here we are, where we've been heading all along, clearly, unmistakably heading, directly into the approaching storm. And possibly, maybe probably, global civil war. And this isn't the end of the road to totalitarianism, but I'm pretty sure we're in the home stretch. Feels like things are about to get really ugly. Very ugly. Extremely ugly. Those of us who are fighting to preserve our rights and some basic semblance of democracy are outnumbered, but we haven't yet had our final say, and there are millions of us, and many of us now are wide awake. So pick a side if you haven't already, but before you do, look back maybe at the history of totalitarian systems, which for some reason never seem to work out for the totalitarians, well, at least not for the useful idiots that they run over, and certainly not in the long run. I'm not a professional philosopher, he says, or anything, but I suspect that might have something to do with people's inextinguishable desire for freedom and our willingness to fight for it, sometimes to the death. This, he concludes, feels like one of those times. Sorry, he says here at the end, that I had to go all Braveheart on you, but I'm psyching myself up to go get the you-know-what beat out of me tomorrow by the new normal goon squad, so I'm a little, you know, emotional. Seriously, though, pick a side, or the side will be picked for you. Now, he doesn't say it, folks. I will, and almost always do. Scripture is the real key here. It tells us, choose this day whom you will serve. It's made the same point even for far, far longer than C.J. Hopkins has. Come out of her. Be separate. Don't fall for the great big lie. The totalitarianism of the fake gods who won't let you make the choice that the God of the Bible does. The things that have never worked throughout human history, and the things that we've been warned about literally in every book of the Bible. There's a way that seems right to a man, wrote Solomon in the Proverbs, and the ends thereof are the ways of death. So choose life, folks, but remember, time is drawing short. And may Yahuwah bless you and yours.